First is on your desk, you're going to find the so-called exit privilege account. The organizers to see how things were and improve in the future. So I would really appreciate if you could complete this and just leave it where they are. After this is over, we collect them, so don't have to hand them in to somebody. Just leave it as they are on the desk.
We have to sign.
if you really like, you can sign. It's not necessary. The second announcement is that we have two posters, so we don't really have a large poster session, but we have two posters, presentations on the ground floor. It's close to the library, so you can pay attention. It's a warm place that deserves attention.
Okay, so then let's start the afternoon session with Dr. Nikos Tekhanov, a very concise title.
Okay.
I will talk in more detail about a model which, a class of models which go under the name of ADS-PCD, which have been already mentioned several times during the workshop. So, what motivates this approach? One of the way of thinking about it is to look at the large limit of NC limit QCT and realize that since the resonances are narrowing this limit, one can entertain the idea that perhaps there is some description, dual description in that sense, in which the resonances are fundamental degrees of freedom which interact with the bits of their week. And one can ask a question, are there some guiding principles which can help us construct such a theory? And it turns out that, as we already know, string theory does suggest such guiding principles. Another interesting observation, another quite obvious fact which points in this direction is we can either think of this as a phenomenological fact or purely QCD fact that if you look, for example, at all particles for the quantum numbers of the Romanism, like the one which would be excited by the eigenvector current, they tend to come in sort of towers of the same types of particles with different masses, which brings about the analogy or the resemblance with the resonance modes in a cavity, which is similar to the Galois-Klein mode. Of course, this should be a five-dimensional. The approach that we, of course, we know that if we if we look at theories which are in which such correspondence between a four-dimensional and five-dimensional effective theory is known, or if you wish, is proven or conjectured, then these theories are far from QCD. In order to obtain QCD from them, one has to deform the dual theory in order to obtain the theory which is defined and mass gap, Carl symmetry breaking, etc. And this is one approach. The approach we are taking is the one which is in a way complementary. We want to look at the QCD and use the DSCFT like holographic correspondence backwards in order to deduce the properties of the theory which we need to have on the dual side in order to reproduce the properties QCD. Of course, this goal is very ambitious and probably is not really achievable in the way that I formulated. But what I will be discussing is an attempt in this direction which brings about a class of models which could describe some properties of QCD to precision. Quite reasonable to make these models phenomenologically interesting. So this is the plan of my talk. I will go briefly through the alphabet of the ESCFT correspondence, although probably in this audience it's not necessary, but I don't want to lose anybody. And then I will illustrate how the properties of QCD or non-properties of QCD are represented in this holographic description. So this is a slide where I try to formulate the basis of the correspondence, of the holographic correspondence, which we learn from ADS-CFT. I'm generalizing it in a way that I would be able to use this correspondence for constructing the models which I'm talking about. So the main, I will not go through the full transparency, but the main point which of course is known to most of you, that what we put in correspondence is two theories. One is a four-dimensional theory, in our case, QCD. Another theory is a five-dimensional theory, and the objects which are equated, which in this equation is the generating functional, which is a function of the sources for operators whose correlation functions we need on the one side of this holographic correspondence. And on the other side, we have effective action. Effective action in the sense that we keep the values of the fields, certain values of the field fixed, and integrate over all the other values. In our case, the values which we would hold fixed are the boundary values of the five-dimensional fields on this boundary, which is at z equals zero in my intention notation, or epsilon if that is useful in some cases, and integrating over the values of the fields of five-dimensional fields in the plot. Then the effective action obtained in this way has to be equal to the generating functional. It's not called four-dimensional theory. It's not effective action in the sense of the low energy effective action in particular. So we're not integrating, right? Integrating more to the, in particular, it's from law properties, one can see a functional of the field phi zero of x, but the, as the functional of the sources in the four-dimensional field theory has to be. The best way to illustrate this is to just to do a simple calculation, which will be also useful for building the model. This is the calculation of the current correlation function. In this case, the operator, which I denoted O, is now a vector. It carries some indices. It's an isospin. Index, and the source for it, which I will denote p0 instead of phi0, just to remind ourselves that this is a vector, and the correlation function, which I will look at, the two-point correlation function, but which we know in QCD that has to be transverse, though the dynamical information is encoded as just a scalar function pi, which we know just from the scale invariance in the freedom, the theory becomes a scale invariant in that large Q squared, that it has to go like log. So how do we get it in the ADS on the holographic side? On the holographic side, we need to find an effective action. We need to find an action for the five-dimensional extension of this field V. So it has to be a five-dimensional action for a five-dimensional vector field V. Without justification, eat the simplest guess, which is just F mu squared, it's the gauge invariant action, which is also a general coordinate invariant. So this rising and lowering indices is done using the AGS. So what we need to do in order to calculate this caloric, we need to fix the boundary condition to the values that we want, V0, for example, and then study how the reaction, which I will treat in the tree level, because I'll just minimize it, depends on the boundary condition, which is still V on the boundary, which is equal to V0, and then take second derivative in order to get variational derivative in order to get the correlated mean. So since we need a second two-point correlator, it's essentially a linear response problem. So we need only the quadratic part of the reaction, and the equation which we are solving in order to find the minimum of the action is the linear equation, which I have written here, which, of course, it's a partial differential equation in all five coordinates. The four of them are in cos speed one, and therefore I can do the Fourier transform and reduce it to the ordinary differential equation in the coordinate z, which is the fifth coordinate. Then what I'm looking for is the profile which of the function v. I choose to look at the components which are transverse in the sense of the four-dimensional vector q, which is a Fourier transform of the four-dimensional coordinate x. Then I'm looking for the solution which satisfies a given boundary condition, which is Fourier transform of my function v0 of x. Suppose I find this this solution. What I do with it, I substitute it into the reaction, and integrating by parts, the trick is that you observe that the pulse part after integrating by part vanishes by equation of motion, and you are dealing only with a boundary term. Therefore, what really enters eventually is the behavior of this solution at given boundary conditions at the boundary, some derivative. Since it's a homogeneous equation and it's the boundary condition which is not homogeneous, we can write the solution as a product of the boundary condition times some profile function, which we can choose to be a solution which is normalized to 1 at the bar. Epsilon is 0. It's just to remind you that the 0 is the value of z at the bar. So now if we substitute the solution here and then take second derivative with respect to v0 of q, we will get our function pi, which is the strength of the two-point correlation function. And it's expressed in terms of a derivative of this profile function normalized in this way. This equation can be solved either by expansion around z equals 0, just explicitly the solution is known, it's just a variation of transformation of Bessel equation. And one can see that the solution to begin with 1 will have this characteristic log qz. You should notice that because of the scale invariance of the interval, this equation is such it can rescale away q. So in a solution, q appears only in the combination q times z. This is the reason why we can identify z with the scaling variable. So changing z is equivalent to changing the scale. So now, substituting this explicit or expansion solution here, taking z equals 0 limit, we find that the non-trivial depends on q coming from this log is log q squared, the coefficient which is the inverse of the coupling from the reaction.
But you could find the other terms as well.
Yes, except they don't depend on q. Right. In this case. Right. So we can go further and demand that this correlation function indeed reproduces the correlation function of the current of QCD, in which we have to ask the coefficients of this log match the coefficient in QCD of NC, which comes from this quark loop, the NC quarks in this loop. And the coefficient here is 1 over g pi squared, which is the coupling in this five-dimensional gauge theory, and one can see that this reciprocal relationship between the emergence, which reminds us of the largest counting in this theory. So here are a couple of remarks about this calculation. If we consider the longitudinal component of the longitudinal strength over four dimensional depth of Q mu, component of this field be base a different equation. And as a result, one can see V longitudinal equal constant is always the solution. One can see that the rate of reaction doesn't depend on the choice of the boundary dimensional longitudinal component of V0. And it means that the insertion of the operator which is sourced by the longitudinal component of the current must give zero, but this operator is the divergence of the current. So that is a statement of the conservation of the current. We see that the gauge invariance of the action was actually related to the conservation of the current in the five-dimensional space. It is sort of a very simple way of reconstructing the argument which puts a prediction and a translation between the global symmetry of conserved current in a four-dimensional series and the local gauge invariance of five-dimensional series. So further, this log, of course, it is not a miracle. It's a very simple consequence of just dimensional counting. One can see also that although it's a five-dimensional theory, this coupling here is dimensionless because, remember, the counting should include also the powers of metric tensor, which is not dimensionless, right? In fact, if you look at the counting of dimension, you can derive a very simple mnemonic rule. If the dimension of the coordinate was contravariant means -1, then one can easily check that the counting of dimension corresponds to counting of the contravariant, covariant minus contravariant indices. Right? So one can therefore see that the scalar should be dimensionless, and one can see that.
This is only if radius is 1.
Yes, I said it's 1.
Yeah, yeah.
I just use yes radius is. Right. In other words, I measure the invariant interval, which I don't use anywhere, just to define the metric. I measure invariant interval in units of the radius. Radius appears only once. So this is just part of the example. From a wrong addiction, but actually several examples which are really ongoing. Now, another interesting relationship exists also between the dimension of the operator and the mass of the five-dimensional field, which is dual to the holographic language. And the simplest way to illustrate it is to look at the equation for a four-dimensional, for a five-dimensional scalar field. So this is the Lagrangian. The equation for it, which is Lagrangian order equation for this Lagrangian, looks like this in the regime when z is very small, and this is the regime where we want to look when we calculate the correlation. Right, so in this region, you can see that the solution is simply a power law. You can easily substitute, and you see that the index has to satisfy a simple quadratic equation. And that also means that the condition which we need to impose on the boundary, so we want something to go to a constant, this has to be the rescaled value of the field, or the coefficient in front of this solution. And therefore, we have to identify this rescaled field near the boundary with the source for the operator ball. And that gives a very simple mnemonic way of counting the dimension. Remember, phi is a scalar, so in our mnemonic counting, it has dimension 0, this field. And so is the mass, of course, because it's also scalar. Since this has dimension 0, phi 0 has to have dimension delta phi, where delta phi is this index satisfying that equation, and therefore the dimension of the operator, which is related to the dimension of the source, trivially is related to the mass. There are a couple of examples here. One interesting example which I want to illustrate is the example of the car. So for the current, this formula relationship is modified because there is additional index here, but it looks similarly. And one can see that for the current, which is dimension 3, the mass should be 0. And the fact that the dimension of the current is 3 is protected against the radiative correction, the exact result, by the conservation, the fact of the conservation of the current. While the fact that the mass of the vector field is 0 in a five-dimensional case is protected by the gauge invariance. And since these two are related to each other, you can see how the
mass is not perfect. Because you always can have in mind like Higgs magnitude. It doesn't mean that it's protected.
Protected in the sense of radiative corrections. Right? If you maintain the okay. Right. So another correspondence which we need to understand here for representation holographic representation for a phenomenon which we need to understand is that of the circuitry break, where Hilbert tunnels seem to be breaking in mind. So in this case, it's also easy to illustrate using the same five-dimensional action for the scalar. And I remind you that we're looking for the extrema of this action to satisfy this rescale condition as where phi 0 is the source for the operator for which phi provides the tool of the five-dimensional theory. But remember there are two solutions to this index equation, or it's the second or the differential equation. So if there are two solutions with powers related in this trivial way. So what is the role of the second solution? The role of the second solution is easy to see. If we take the variational derivative of the extremum of the action with respect to the value of the source, we see that it's proportional to the coefficient of the second solution. And therefore, comparing to the four-dimensional theory, the coefficient of the second solution, is proportional to the expectation variable for the one-point function of the operator to which the field is brought. So with these ingredients, we can already put them together into a very simple model of UCD, which incorporates chiral symmetry breaking. So in order to describe sensibly chiral symmetry breaking, we need to provide holographic description for operators which are relevant for these phenomena, which are the operators of the current, right? So the left and right hand is sort of isovector currents, as well as the operator which is the order parameter for the chiral condensate, which is the scalar, which is the Lorentz scalar, bilinear, but it's a matrix, complex matrix in the isospin space. So the tool for it is a five-dimensional scalar field, which is matrix variable. And the dual for the currents we already know, this is a vector field. So what we want is, these are just the dimensions of operators which allow us, for example, to tell what should be the master for the scalar field. For this field, the action has to be gauge invariant if we want to provide holographic mapping on the theory with a conserved card.
So what is P? Is that
it's a number of indices, Lorentz indices. Okay, because the formula, the relation between the mass and the dimension is better. Right. So you see, you can see the thing. So the chiral symmetry breaking should be described in a way that we already encountered. The solution, if we look for the solution for the extremum for the action with respect to x, which we call x0, we have to fix the boundary condition on the term, so there are two indices, z equals 1 and z equals 3, according to the dimension of the mass, which is the same. And the coefficient of the leading one has to be the source for the chiral condensate, which is the mass matrix, right? And the coefficient of the second one should be the Carnot condensate itself. So, of course, the coefficient of the second solution depends on what boundary condition we impose it at the boundary of the space, which we artificially truncate at some finite value, because we don't want to have a theory to have exact scale invariance. We have to break it somewhere. And as we shall see, this cutoff reproduces quite correctly the spectrum of the theory.
Is it something like lambda QCD?
It is something like lambda QCD, or inversely. We shall see, because you will easily see the relation between this and the mass gap. Right, now let us see. So as I said, sigma is depends on the boundary condition in the infrared at Zn. Instead of trying to choose the boundary condition, I just know that for the quantities which I'm looking at, the only way that the boundary condition will affect them is through the value of sigma itself. So let me, instead of parameterizing the theory, I will just parameterize it in terms of sigma. So sigma will be just for my parameter. You can see that this is a model, because the relationship between the parameters which describe the confinement of the mass gap, which is clear, right, and the Carl symmetry breaking zeps. You could choose them independently. So this is something which could be improved. Well, it's a week. Now let us consider how the spectrum of the particle arises in this case. In order to do this, let us return to our equation, which determined the profile function for which we used for the calculation of the current-current correlation function. So this is this sort of equation. And now, I remember, we look for negative Q squared. And the reason for this is, we look now for the positive Q squared. We see that there are some discrete values of Q squared where the solution with a given boundary condition, V equals 1, is not unique. You can add to it an arbitrarily coefficient, another solution which is called normalizable norm, the one which goes to 0 at the bound, which normalizable in that sense. This only happens at discrete values. Essentially, you can recognize that this is just a Sturm-Liouville problem, right? And the values are discrete if the ZM is finite. So if we that means that this function V of Q has to be singular at these values. So it's a response of the system has to be single, has to resonate at some particular values of Q. So we can calculate this function of V for using the following observation, that for the Sturm-Liouville problem, the set of the of this normal modes is complete, and one can express any function in terms of the in this sort of Fourier-like expansion, and one can calculate these coefficients, which, as we expected, show this poles at every value of Q squared for which that equation has a normalizable mode. And the residues of these poles are related to the derivatives, or second derivatives by L'Hopital rule, of this normalizable mode. Right? So you can see how the relationship between infrared and ultraviolet, this quantity looks like it's ultraviolet because it's defined at z goes to 0, but its absolute size depends on the profile of the function through the normalization. Remembering what this function is at the current correlator, tells us that this has to be identified with the k constant of the mesons, whose masses are the values of the q squared where there are poles in this function. And the residues are this, and you can see that their scaling with mc is also correct, remembering that g5 is 1 over square root of mc. And of course, the QCD sum rule, which is the fact that if we sum this and analytically continue to space like Q squared, we find the law.
Does it matter what boundary condition you pick at Zn?
For that, for the spectrum, yes. If you change the boundary condition at Z, you will change both these values and the mass. but the QCD sum rules will be automatically preserved. So that allows you.
So when you pick conversely,
it's a normal bug.
Yeah.
Well, it's a reasonable boundary condition to take. There's another argument for this. This is the only boundary condition, linear boundary condition, which I can write, which is can be formulated engaging the invariant way. If I write, right.
So the net spectrum is dependent on boundary condition.
Of course.
Then it doesn't.
Then what?
let's keep going, and then we'll see what that means.
The spectrum is physical, right?
Yeah, it's a model, right? So you, well, I argue that the boundary condition
so
I choose is quite, if not unique, it's quite
there is
exceptional.
No way to choose one over the other, a priori.
Well, there is one way I try to say. If you wanted to formulate it in a gauge invariant variable,
gauge invariance forces you to choose a particular boundary condition, is that so?
Well, it forces you to choose, for example, between the Dirichlet and the Noether. Maybe there are some other boundary conditions
okay.
that you can think of. But to linear order, if you want to stay with linear boundary conditions, this would be the case. But as I said, yes, of course, there is some sensitivity to boundary conditions. Right. For this, for the scalars, as the only thing which matters, for what I'm going to calculate, the only thing from the scale which I need to know is the value of the C, and that is the subleading asymptotics of the subleading contribution, the Z to the Q to the profile. Right. So an important check of the that we really implemented the chiral symmetry breaking is the is the fact that there is a pole right in the axial-axial correlator. And one can actually demonstrate it. One should do the same now with an axial current correlator. And the equation which one needs to solve in order to find the profile function, which may normalize that way, in order to substitute it into the current-current correlation function, is different by this term. No, by this term, which is proportional to V, which I define, it depends on both, it depends on the value of sigma, which is the chiral symmetry breaking parameter or the parameter. So, and as a result, the solution at Q equals zero is not constant, doesn't fit here, right, as it used to, and therefore the derivative which enters here at z equals epsilon is not zero, and we have non-zero f phi being the residue of the pole of the two-point correlation function. So we have a chiral symmetry breaking with a Goldstone present. Moreover, one can perturb this introducing a finite mass, and one can see, in this case, one has to solve equations which now couple the longitudinal component with the phase of this field x, and to see that the mass of the phi indeed comes out linear in MQ and satisfying not only the linearity but also the coefficient falls out correctly. And it's also interesting to observe that as it should, it is very robust to changes. For example, one can think of considering the operator psi bar psi with a non-trivial dimension. Let's say not three, it will still be insensitive, or deforming ideas, for example, somewhere away from the from the boundary.
All this follows from conservation of axial current.
In the four dimension,
So it doesn't depend on the model, is it?
Of course, yeah. that means that we didn't fudge the conservation of it's built in the model. So in a way, it's somewhat harder to see it in the holographic description. Of course, on the left, in fact, seeing it in UCD is also not very easy. You really need to use some effective description or something.
No,
by that.
No, it's enough to you can use what I get in the same as
conservation
of axial.
Yeah. So all right, it's much easier to see it in the four-dimensional theory and to see that it is robust. But you know, we wouldn't call the theorem by the name of Goldstone if it was obvious to everybody a bit time to reading it. So so we have some time to get used to that theorem. It's obviously in this language it comes out somewhat. But you can trace the insensitivity. For example, there is an insensitivity to any modification of your metric in the infrared. You can see that the condition for the normalizable mode to be the solution of this equation with the correct bound, the condition is that this integral has to be equal to minus 1. And one can see that it's a convolution of a function which is very highly peaked near the boundary. And the function which asymptotes to f pi squared. So whatever you do away from the boundary wouldn't affect this relationship.
Only can you see that if you go just going back? Does profile function V of Z. So you can somewhat like to see that the Goldstone boson pole in A only comes from the sigma term, not from the M term.
Yeah, it's a little not there. You cannot it works. Well, you can see from here, right? The limit MQ goes to zero is somewhat single. But you can see from here, right, that when you set Q to zero, then M pi should also, the pole shifts to Q goes to zero, right? It's just a consequence of that relationship. So another robust consequence of these models is can be illustrated on the Romeson dominant, the Romeson dominance of the of the electromagnetic or isovector form factor of the fine, and the way that it has to appear is that the coupling of the Romeson, so there is a whole tower. If you look at the contribution to the amplitude of the scattering of the photon on the fine, would include by quantum numbers all the tower of Romesons. But for some reason, the coupling of the lowest, the lightest Romeson should dominate. And then, and the way that it does comes very easily in these models in a way that these couplings are given by the overlap integrals of the wave function for the profile of the normalizable mode for the Romeson, which looks like this, has no nodes. And something which is basically, you can think of it as a fine wave function, which has no nodes. And so if you go to the rho prime, which is function orthogonal to the function of rho, it has a node, and therefore this integral is suppressed, and the higher you go, the higher you suppress. So that way, these models are very naturally providing explanation to empirically observed phenomena, which QCD doesn't have a straightforward explanation for. Then, this is just a technological comparison, which you can just look at the numbers in this column, which are obtained after I fixed the three parameters in the model using this start value. So you can see those are fixed. All the others, for example, the mass of the A1 or the electromagnetic decay constants or even the mass of the rho prime seem to be in the right ballpark. There is one problem in these models. Yes.
Why did you choose this particular numbers to fit? I mean, if you fit some other, you can choose some other three numbers to fit.
Yes, we actually tried another model where we fit all of them. I think we fit all of them. And,
but then you don't have any predictions.
Oh, well, you can see how good is the fit. All right. So, well, one reason, well, I didn't want to, but I can. You can see the naturalness of this process. So, for example, so we have four parameters. One is G5. This has to be fit within C. Another one is mass of the rho, which is just, this is the zero, this rho profile is a Bessel function. So it's the first zero of the Bessel function. So that tells you that the rho is a very natural, and rho is a very natural. And then Fi and Fi are related to chiral symmetry breaking, so it's natural to choose sigma and then Q to fit the it's just quite natural to treat this parameter. So there's one problem. If you want to go large excitations in the, for example, rho prime and so on in this tower, then you see that the masses of excitation grows too fast. They go like n, or the square masses go like n squared. That's not what you really want. But one can fix it by modifying the background. And the way that one can do this, or parameterize it, is to introduce a dilaton background. And one can see that if I choose the dilaton background to be of that form, or at least asymptotically, then you would get the, and the reason for that is can be easily seen if we look at the mode equation, the equation which determines the masses of the this Sturm-Liouville problem, which can be reduced to Schrödinger type by a similar change of variables with a potential which is related to the, so the potential is related to the dilaton profile to this function b, right, which appears here. And the function az is the coefficient of the, which we so far have chosen to be 1 over z squared. So a is simply minus log z. So if you put this profile into here, you will find that the corresponding wave equation, equation for the, which determines the masses, is the equation for the harmonic oscillator, two-dimensional harmonic oscillator, and therefore it naturally has a corresponding spectrum. And the reason that the spectrum came out to be quadratic and then is also very simple to understand. If we do the hard cutoff, then we have a particle in the box, and the energies go like m squared.
Misha?
Yes.
The parameters you fitted and predicted on the previous page, how much are, in the previous slide, how much are they affected by the change in the cutoff?
We haven't really.
Do
we
have to redo it all?
Yeah. Well, in this case, we haven't tried to do it carefully because in this case, what we want is to show what the background should be in order to reproduce the correct isomorphism that it is in principle possible.
No,
right. Because then
this ZM is first alone. The function is already the because otherwise it would spoil this.
For example, if you look at the at this spectrum and you try to put a line through the, you will see that the romesin is too much below this line. Right? So it's just the asymptotics which is linear. So then you have other things. The intercept is not in the right place, right? But of course you can easily realize that the slope is determined by the coefficient of the z squared, right? So if you want to change intercept, all you need to do is to modify, for example, this background to sublinear order in at life, which we haven't tried.
So you need that squared coefficient.
Yes.
So you cannot have like that to the fourth.
Then
you will no longer have a linear.
Yes, z to the fourth, I think you will.
But z to the fourth, you are back to.
Back to the hard wall. Yeah.
To the wall.
But the reason I'm saying it, because in ADS-CFT, what you actually. You don't have much thing to tune there. Uh-huh. What you are getting is five.
No. Well, wait a second. Z to the fourth you are referring to is probably the small z asymptote. Here we're talking about large z asymptotic. I don't know.
Okay,
if So this squared, I don't know any string theoretical motivation for this z squared. This is purely phenomenological based on this. But that may suggest the direction in which one can go if one can try to reproduce the. So I think with higher spins, I just say that there are one can extend this to higher spins in a similar fashion and find a very simple formula which also includes the dependence of the mass on the spin. And one can also see that the operators which we're working with have twist two, which are very interesting, for example, for deep inelastic sketching. And here is the outlook. This transparency began as an outlook. Now it's more like reference page. There are some questions which can be addressed, and there was several interesting. So I'm developments in the application list to variants. One thing I want to tell you that in this case the way that you look at the variant is similar to the way you look in a Skirvin model, but in this case you have additional dimension. So your variant is a topological configuration which is now topological in four dimensions instead of three, right? So it's an instanton, but not in a flat background, but in a four-dimensional space with one direction being this holographic coordinate z. So there's some phenomenology which I can do. There are some recent papers, and there is even some paper which studies the effect of the this model of fine intensity. I also want to draw attention to the works which apply these models to thermodynamics and transport, and I think we may actually even hear something about that in the next talk, but I'm not sure. Probably not. Okay, thank you.
Used up our discussion time already. The urgent sessions remain.
Yeah, so is there a problem or principle to really make GCP out of this model?
I'm not aware of the problem. It also depends on what you actually mean by making QCD, right? So I can tell you one problem which is you can view it as a problem of principle is that you're essentially looking at the solution to the following problem. You want to write a theory which provides a correlation function for all possible operators of QCD. So for each operator, you have to have a field. And there are infinitely many fields and operators in QCD. So you are asking a question, are there any principle reasons why I cannot write down the theory with infinitely many fields?
There is a more fundamental issue, right?
Asymptotic
freedom, much simple. The geometry must be singular at some point. This is all smooth and dark geometry.
Yeah, whether this is a principle, I'm not aware of any. So I think I would say that it is fair to say that there is no principle reason why such theory cannot exist, but it may be very likely that if even such theory exists, it may not be very useful for, you know, everything. But it may be useful for some sort of truncations of it, like this one can be used as a model. What to study, for example, the sensitivity to, well, I don't want to get into that.
Okay, so then let's thank you together.